Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Texas, the same number. It's Election Day. Maggie Dawn of Dawn of Resistance is here. Let's go to the phone lines. And Karina, is she on?
Yes, I'm on.
All right, thank you. You have a question or comment?
Coming.
Go ahead.
Well, I've been listening to you, Earl, and honestly, you open up a lot for me. And people who vote for Republicans, I'm not exactly sure what they see and hear, but what I hear is chauvinism, racism, fanatic religious belief. All of it brings us to a medieval, back straight to medieval. Those people are concentrating only on their possibility of wealth, because the wealthy people is only 3% in this country. So it's just an unbelievable, stupid, stuck on stupid dream.
Karina's got that
down pat, right? She was saying they're going to bring us back to the dark ages. I just want to remind folks, the retroactive abortion ban, banning abortion even in the case of rape and incest in the life of the mother here in Wisconsin, dates back to 1859. Not only is that before women had the right to vote in this country, it is before the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were ratified. Those happened in the 1860s. If you don't know what those are, those were the constitutional amendments that said we are not going to treat people differently because of their race in this country. So before our Constitution recognized the equality of black men with white men in this country, we had banned abortion in the state before women had the right to vote. That is the dark ages by any measure. Who else we got on the line, Earl?
Karina, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Dave from Mequon. Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Hey, Earl, and Paul, Maggie. Really quickly, at the end of the day, I agree with Maggie on the sense that, yes, the president is not completely responsible for all the inflation that we're seeing. However, he is a big component of it as well. And what I mean by that is the fact of the matter is this, is that when he announced the other day, or just a couple days ago, that we're going to shut all coal plants down in the United States, what are you going to replace that with? And you know, if you don't, we don't have that in place right now. And so what you actually do, you're artificially increasing energy prices by eliminating sources of energy that is currently used.
Yeah, but and Dave, he's not going to flick a switch and right. All of a sudden all the coal plants shut down, right?
No, but if you do look at what he has done, he's used the Army Corps of Engineers to block. There's many protests with blocking pipelines. New York State has no more natural gas for stoves anymore. Same thing in California. They're slow.
That's not exactly true. Natural gas? No, it's not. That is an exaggeration. That is not true. There are concerns about the natural gas supply, but there's not a single household in the state of New York that hasn't gotten their natural gas to date.
This is a question
about what our long-term strategy is to deal with climate change. And we either have to talk about fossil fuels, and I totally agree. I will say this emphatically with you. This ain't a light switch, and if we approach it like that, we will have energy crises. Absolutely. We have to figure out how to make this transition as a society, as an economy. Otherwise, we're going to continue to see weather effects that will decimate populations. Those are our options. So a president talking about we need to move away from coal doesn't result in immediate inflation. That's just, it's not true. This is complicated, right? It's nuanced.
Let me put it to you this way, Maggie.
Okay.
When you are actually limiting supply, when you're blocking pipelines, I'm not talking about the Keystone. I'm talking about a lot of other pipelines in the United States.
So name them. Which ones have stopped flowing under Biden? The that were flowing before and aren't flowing now.
They're trying to block the pipeline up in northern Wisconsin and Michigan.
Yes, but it hasn't happened.
That they are pushing it to close it down. If they do that within the next year, there will be a massive amount of natural gas that will be cut offline.
Again, it's not closed down now, so you cannot pin inflation now on that issue. And my question to you is fundamentally this. Do you believe that we have to have a long-term and medium-term conversation about the impact of continued fossil fuel use on the environment? Yes or no?
Yes, I believe we should have that conversation.
Great. There's a place of commonality. I agree, and I think we both agree that we have to have that conversation in an economically reasonable way so as not to create economic crisis. Do you think Joe Biden wants to create an economic crisis for the middle class in dealing with climate policy?
Let's put it this way. He should not be using up our strategic reserves for the idea of the fact because we are stopping the ability for refineries. We're stopping the abilities of refineries to expand, to increase capacity. We need to increase capacity. Even the liquid natural gas has been clamoring for more capacity because we are maxed out as to what we can do as far as producing the amount of liquid natural gas. And the fact of the matter is, the last major refinery in the United States that was built was in the mid-70s. And we've added a little bit here and there, but that's ridiculous. And so because of the increase of population,
do you think increasing capacity will help or hurt overall climate change? And if it's going to hurt, what do we do to maintain what I would call energy access in a way that doesn't harm the middle class other than just blaming Joe Biden for all of it?
Well,
what's the policy solution?
I would go with natural gas right now because it's a very low CO2 emission fossil fuel.
So natural gas is the bridge to less carbon, and that's what you're offering. Okay, then how do we get finally to a place where we are not increasing the temperature over 1.5 degrees within the next 20 years, which climate scientists say will be catastrophic? That isn't going to be enough. Natural gas is not going to be enough.
I would go with hydrogen. I would go with nuclear. I would go with hydro. I would go with because keep in mind wind turbines.
Okay, so we should be having that discussion.
The wind is blowing.
Okay, so we should be having those discussions. Do you also think we should be having a discussion about how to secure and manage our energy grid? And isn't this precisely what Joe Biden is talking about? So return to point one. Joe Biden talking about the things that we need to do does not have an immediate impact on gas prices today or inflation today. That is a nuanced and complicated.
If you're telling people that you can no longer get oil out of the ground, or if you can't build pipelines, that affects the futures market. They have a
futures market quite well. He didn't say we're cutting off coal production today. He was talking about exactly the complexity that you and I are trying to chop and are chopping it up about. That these things.
He shouldn't have said that. He should have said, he should have said, we're moving into this fast transition. And I don't want us to have the situation we got going on in Europe.
All right, Dave, but we've got to go to a break. When we come back, the next voice you'll hear will be Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. Be right back. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And as promised, our airways have been graced by the one and only Vice President of the United States, Ms. Kamala Harris. Good morning to you, Vice President Harris. How are you?
Good morning.
morning. I am well. How are you this morning?
It is an honor and a privilege to have your voice on these airways.
It's good to be with you, Mr. Ingram. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you very much. So what do you want to say in these few minutes that we have?
I just want to, first of all, thank the people of Milwaukee for electing me vice president, electing Joe Biden president of the United States.
You remembered, huh?
Of course I do. Milwaukee was decisive. Of course I do. Of course I do. That's why I start with thanking folks, because in the height of the pandemic, with so much loss of life and normalcy, people lost their jobs, and yet turned out in record numbers and made history. And I just want to ask folks to do what you did before again, because these seats, you know, Tony Evers has been an extraordinary governor. He is holding down the line on craziness in terms of making sure that he can be there to represent the people, working people. He has cut taxes for working families. He's lowered costs for small businesses in Wisconsin and Milwaukee. And he must be reelected because he really does stand for our democracy and for freedom and equality. Mandela Barnes, the son of a third shift auto worker and a public school teacher, running to lower costs. And if we get two more seats in the United States Senate, if we hold on to what we have, and two more seats, of which Mandela Barnes would be one, the president can sign into law the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. It would be so important to put teeth back in the Voting Rights Act that folks marched and died for. And these are the things that are at stake. So I want to remind everybody, today is Election Day. Even if you are not registered, you can go in Wisconsin and same day that you vote, you can register to vote and then vote. And the polls close at 8 o'clock. But, you know, the governor's seat is 4 years. That Senate seat is 6 years. So I know I'm asking a lot for folks to, out of their busy day, do what you need to do to vote. But just think about the impact you've had just in the last election and the significance of these two seats in particular, 4 years and 6 years. So that's why I'm calling to talk with your listeners. And again, first of all, to thank them for all they did last time.
You know, Vice President Harris, I've got a co-host with me in here today, and she is the corporate counsel of Milwaukee County. And I would be remiss if I didn't give her an opportunity to ask you a question. Her name is Ms. Maggie Dawn.
Yes. Ms. Dawn.
Good morning, Madam Vice President. Such an honor to speak with you. The question that I wanted to ask you was, 2 years and a day ago, the election was called for you and then President-elect Biden. I gathered with a group of my women friends that serve the public, a woman who was the second Marine F-18 navigator, a woman who worked in the intelligence apparatus, a woman who led one of the most powerful civilian police oversight boards, a former teacher, the first Black Latina president of Milwaukee County's Board of Supervisors. We gathered together. We cried. We, in fact, wept when we saw you take the stage in that brilliant white suit that day, because we've all experienced how small the eye of the needle is that we must thread when we are in service. The targets have gotten even smaller that we must hit, that when we lean in, we are shoved back. I wanted to ask you today, maybe to speak to independent women voters who may be listening, men who love a woman or women generally, their daughters, their nieces, their sisters, their wives, who may be on the fence about what to do today, why it is so important, and maybe perhaps share a bit of your experience as a woman in service, why it is so important to stand up not just for democracy, but for women today in the state of Wisconsin. Madam Vice President.
So well said. Well, you know, first of all, I just feel very strongly that you should never let anybody take your power from you. And we have the power to vote. And we know when we vote, we make a difference. It's what we saw in 2020. And Milwaukee made all the difference. I'd also say that, you know, to your point about what's at stake for women, we just witnessed the highest court of our land, the United States Supreme Court, take a constitutional right that had been recognized from the people of America, from the women of America. And I think it's important to note One does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree. The government should not be telling her what to do with her body. That's a decision for her. And if she chooses to make with her loved ones, with her pastor, her priest, her rabbi, but not the government. And when you look at what's happening in Wisconsin, the governor's race, Tony Evers, has really been standing so strong on this point and committed to protecting reproductive rights. You look at Mandela Barnes, same thing. Same thing. He has been fighting for reproductive rights. And here's the thing about the Senate race. If we gain two more seats in the Senate, the president will be able to pass, to sign into law, the Women's Health Protection Act, Women's Health Protection Act, which would basically not allow these states to be passing and proposing these laws, which would criminalize health care providers, doctors, nurses, health care providers, literally allotting for jail time for them. Some of these states making no exception for rape or incest. One, if we get two more Senate seats, of which Mandela Barnes could be one, we would be able to sign into law, the president will sign into law, the Women's Health Protection Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act, put back in place protections for people's right to vote. It's about freedom. It's about liberty. The foundational principles of our nation, going back to your point about people who have served our country, we fight what we believe is the strongest and greatest democracy in the world. We fight for our foundational principles of freedom and liberty. That's what's at stake in so many of these issues. And our democracy will only be as strong as our willingness, each one of us, to stand up and fight for it. And one of the best ways we can do that at election time is to exercise our voice through our vote.
Well, I will say this to you, Madam Vice President. Thank you very much for what you do. Thank you very much for the call. We are going to deliver Mandela Barnes to the United States Senate, and we're going to keep Governor Tony Evers in his rightful place. You and the president continue to do the hard work, the heavy lifting, and we'll be there to support you.
I appreciate you very much. Everybody take care, and thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Vice President.
That is the Vice President, the first female Vice President, Black female Vice President of the United States, who has graced our airways. And Maggie, I could feel the emotion in you as a woman to have some conversation and dialogue with a fellow woman who has had to deal with what has been a man-dominated, white male-dominated reality. The higher up the ladder you get, the more you realize that that's been just held sacred and apart from anyone but white men. One of the reasons why Vice President Kamala Harris deals with all the things she deals with is because, number one, she's got those two strikes, a woman and a black person.
Person of color, yes.
And she fights back and does a good job of it.
I truly thought that I may never see, before I am 6 feet under, a woman vice president. And I truly hope that Madam Vice President Harris has now shown that this is not only possible in the vice presidency, but also in governor's seats, in the executive branch of state government, and also ultimately as the president of the United States. I talk frequently with women that I serve with in public service about the humility with which we approach our offices that we hold in public trust. And I think that is an absolute critical difference. And you see it coming from women who don't approach it as an entitlement, like folks like Carrie Lake, right? We hold these jobs in trust. We approach our duties with humility and with a spirit of what is going to serve and help community wellness. We have a moment here in Milwaukee and in southeastern Wisconsin and across our state. Not only does Milwaukee have the first black mayor we've ever seen, the first Latino Common Council president, the first black county executive, a black chief of police, the first black female sheriff, the first black Latina head of the County Board of Supervisors. We have the opportunity to send a black man to Senate here in the state of Wisconsin and continue to invest in education, health equity, and our democracy by returning the everyman, Tony Evers, to the governor's
seat. So we've got to go to a break. When we come back, the governor of the United States, of the state of Wisconsin, will be joining us. Be right back. Welcome back to an Election Day edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I've been joined by none other than Ms. Maggie Dawn, who is the Corporate Counsel of Milwaukee County. She's also the Dawn of Resistance. And now, the coup de grace. Governor Tony Evers is on the line. Good morning to you, Governor Evers. You know you're one of my favorite people in the world. It's always good to hear your voice.
Thanks, Earl. And can we listen to more Aretha?
I love that, Governor.
Maybe at another time, Governor Evers. But, man, tell us how you're feeling right now.
Well, good. I just heard Aretha Franklin. I used to own every one of her records back in the day.
You know,
I'm feeling.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I thought you were going to say you just heard Vice President Kamala Harris because she came right before you.
Okay. No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Yeah, but
anyway, I all's good. We're. I'm looking forward to a great victory. Obviously, it's going to be close, but no, I'm feeling good. We made it clear what our positions were on various issues and talked about our what we've accomplished over the last 4 years and point out the difficulties that the Wisconsinites will have if my opponent is put into place. He's taken some really radically and divisive positions on all sorts of things, and so I think people understand the difference between my opponent and me, and I believe that we're going to win.
You know, Governor Evers, like myself, you're a lifelong resident of the state of Wisconsin, and you love this state, and we've seen it throughout our lifetimes, and never before have we seen it, even under Scott Walker, under the threats that it's under right now. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you look at what my opponent is peddling as far as reproductive health and what that means for the women of Wisconsin, it's just extraordinary. Obviously, they're going to make abortion illegal and criminalize it, throw doctors into jail. And then of course in our public school system, he's looking to essentially destroy it. I mean, there's no question. If you take 40% of the revenue away from our public schools, they may as well not open the doors. I don't know how they're going to do that. When President Obama was here, he talked about the whole issue of voting rights. And how that important part of our democracy is starting to slip away. And if my opponent, he said he's going to come back, and if he wins and sign into law all the things that I vetoed, yeah, there's a stark difference between his reality and his, frankly, disruptive demeanor and what we need to do in Wisconsin.
Governor Evers, I have looked at the fact of all these different bills that you vetoed and reading those. I've read those a couple times over the airways in the weeks past because I thought it was really important that people got to understand just exactly what these plans were. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts, Governor Evers, as I mean, you've been down this road. You've been in tight races. If we believe what the other side is saying, then there would be no point in voting. But I can give you some encouragement. At my voting poll place where I've been voting for 20 years, I purposely waited to 7 o'clock this morning to wait till the polls open. I always vote on election day. And the lines were outside of the school. The last time I saw that was 2012 with President Barack Obama. So Milwaukee's going to surprise some folks.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's no question. No question about that. That is good news. What we've seen is by the data that we know about early voting and absentee voting, that the numbers are up with women, young people, blacks, and we believe that that's a good sign for us. But at the end of the day, I know we are on the right side of the issues, and winning against a real aggressively dangerous person as my opponent is, it's going to take everybody getting out to vote. We can win. There's no question about that. We are going to win.
You know, Governor, my co-host is Miss Maggie Dawn. She's the corporate counsel of Milwaukee County. She has a question she wants to ask you.
Governor, sure. Governor, great to talk to you again. We worked together during your first administration to get the opioid settlement going directly into cities and the large counties that have been hurt the most. I thank you again for that joint effort. Earl mentioned, I think, what is really critical, not just in the governor's race and the Senate race, but the down ballot races that we're seeing across the state, and the importance for everyone to get out and vote, not just for you, but in those down ballot races because of the threat of the supermajority. And Earl mentioned the power of the governor's veto, and that we have to ensure that not only are you elected and elected decisively, sir, but that we do not end up with a supermajority. I was wondering if you could share one or two of the bills that you vetoed in your first term that you thought were absolutely critical to the overall economic and overall wellness of the state of Wisconsin for every resident, no matter where they live here in this great state, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. That is getting people out to vote on all these issues and for all these positions are really important. And I'll just use two voting rights ones, because that is the heart of our democracy. And I remember when I was able to introduce President Obama just a couple of weeks ago in Milwaukee, he talked about that extensively, how it is slowly moving away from democracy. And I'll use two. One bill is going to make it more difficult for people with physical disabilities to vote. Think about that. And second of all, you know, as we age, there's going to be more and more people that live in nursing homes and skilled nursing homes, but they're able to vote. That the Republicans are going to try to make it more and more difficult for people that live in their nursing homes to vote. Those are two things that are on the surface, you might say, big deal, but it is a big deal when you start messing around with people's rights to vote. And that's what President Obama was warning us against, is the importance of having free elections where people should feel confident that they're going to be allowed to vote. That's important, and the Republicans are trying to take that away from us.
You know, Governor Evers, when you hear Republicans saying it's an exaggeration to say that democracy is on the line this time around, you say what to that?
Well, as you take it away, every time we vote, it's going to be, you know, people are going to be, excuse me, it's about voter suppression. It's about when people feel that they're unsafe going into a voting booth. All those things that, you know, Donald Trump brought to the table and the Republicans in the state have talked about the fraud. People are going to give up and say, well, why the hell vote if it doesn't matter? So, no, I think it is critically important to our democracy. And I know when President Obama was talking about this, and he turned to me and he said, so so fix it, you know, to me. I'll do whatever I can, but this is something that it is going to be on the ballot. You're not going to see it on the ballot, but the results of today will determine whether we are going backwards in our ability to get people to vote, or we're going forward. And that's what our democracy is all about.
Maggie?
Yeah, Governor. Governor, before we have to go to break, I wanted to express my appreciation for the fact that you, as an individual, you haven't changed a
bit.
You are the same man you were when you headed up the State Department of Education. You are, and every person here in the state of Wisconsin, I deeply appreciate that, because what I try to remind folks of that say, it's not really a risk to democracy, is this. Most of the rules that help prop up and sustain our democracy are actually not written into law. They are the norms that are observed by candidates over time, and the norms that are observed by those that win and lose elections. And yeah, I want to thank you, sir, for maintaining that sense of normalcy in the face of all of this craziness and trying to speak to better angels. And so the last word to you, Governor, what would you like to say to bring folks out to vote about really preserving those norms and returning sanity to government these days?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We have to have not only voting for voting's sake, you're voting for values, you're voting for integrity, you're voting for things that, you know, sometimes feel a little squishy, but at the end of the day, they are what makes our state so great. And so I just encourage people to get out and vote. And yes, my mannerisms are baked into my DNA. I'm not going to change. You see what you're going to get. And I think having a steady hand on the helm, especially during these times of really difficult circumstances, is really important.
Governor Evers, I want to thank you so much from the depth of my heart, and many of the people from the state who know that we are better off by having had you and having you as the governor than we would be without. So thank you for taking the time out of this busy schedule, and after you're reelected, we'll reconnect.
And wait, thanks a lot, Earl. Thank you, Maggie.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Governor.
Governor Tony Evers, and we pray that he is sent back to Madison, because I don't know I do know what would happen. Let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. And Travis, hey, Travis, thank you very much for waiting. You say what?
I say thank you very much for taking my call. Thank you, Governor Evers, for being the governor that you are and taking the state in the right direction. I hope everybody gets out there. The numbers prove that we should have a blue tsunami. But Earl, please don't take this the wrong way. I feel honored to be on your show. But at the same time, when you let people like CJ just let things fall out of their mouth that they obviously don't think that much about, please do a better job of screening, but you got to cut these guys off before they let the hatreds fall. Thank you, Earl, for doing your show.
Travis, let me say this. I would say to you that people have said that to me before, but I think sometimes we need to allow people to allow their ignorance to be understood.
On full display.
And you know, unlike conservative squawk radio, where they won't give the other side an opportunity to say anything, I think it's what separates us from the other stations and what they do. But thank you very much. I'm honored, man, that you listen in, and thank you. I appreciate it. Let's go over to line one. Who do we have on line one?
Wisco Paul.
Hey, Wisco Paul, man. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, my friend?
Hey, good afternoon, Earl. Maggie, yeah, just a little bit on your last caller, what he was saying there is we need to do something about climate change, and that means going to solar, electric, whatever we can do to get off fossil fuels. Second of all, tax cuts for the wealthy, what Trump did, that added to the deficit.
Yes.
And he wants to do a simple thing, like IRA agents. to get the taxes out of the very wealthy that aren't paying. I mean, it's just simple stuff.
Yep.
And thanks for your show. I appreciate it. You guys do a great job. And hey, I voted all blue today, so right, I did my job.
All right. Thank you very much. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. Phone lines are open to talk about what you want to talk about from now to the end of the show. All right, we'll come back to you quickly after the break. 844-967-2789. Be right back. Welcome back, which to what I can't believe is the last few minutes of Election Day edition of the Earl Ingram Show. And my co-host, the dawn of resistance, Maggie Dawn. Let's go right to the phone lines. Who's on line three, man? Who is that? I know that name.
That's Gene from Eau Claire.
Hey, Gene, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much. This is such an inspirational show today. It's just outstanding.
So what do you think about Maggie?
Oh, I love her. Oh, I love her. She's inspirational. She's just really outstanding. Yes, yes, yes. Got to hear more of her. We need you on our side of the state, too. So I hope Civic Media gets on our side of the state so we can listen to both of you more often, because this is like a bright light in the dark tunnel. So thank you again, and what an inspiration. Thank you. Bye.
All right, thank you very much, Gene. Really appreciate it. Phone line's open, 844-967-2789. Corinna, again.
Yes. Earl, I have to add, because of that fuel coal, and one more thing about reproductive. If you're taking rights from me for abortion and contraceptive, are we going to do mandatory bisectomy for a man, too? Because it's kind of not equal. It's not equal, because then something has to be done on the man's side of the deal. You can't just push one side on the female responsibility just because even nature protects me. When a female goes into starvation, the period stops because nature knows that adult is more important than potential fetus. So the Republican Party goes against the nature for real. That's one. And two, about fuel. Why is it when the Trump talking about fuel and the production and drilling, we're talking about business? When the Biden talking about that, we're talking reinforcement of a government. Governments in this country do not even own the land or can make anybody do with that land, unfortunately. Government has no power over people who own the land and decide that they make their own decisions for a business.
I'll just say this, Karina, very briefly on the whole question of vasectomy. I've been saying since abortion really became a legitimate debatable issue for anybody other than the extreme right Christian evangelicals was, okay, if you're going to deny birth control and abortion access to women and not cover that in insurance and ban abortions, then any man that wants to obtain the prescription Viagra has to demonstrate that he and his wife can still conceive children, that he's gainfully employed, and then he has to go through a battery of medical exams and tests, and, you know, perhaps including some sort of invasive tests, which he may not want to participate in. It's hyperbole, but it sort of describes the ridiculous acceptability of policing women's bodies in a way that men's bodies have never been subject to. It is an abomination. I do want to say these two facts to close out this show. No, we got a couple more callers. We'll see if we can get you in. Two facts. 3/4 of women who obtain an abortion are at or below the poverty line. 3/4. 92% of abortions happen in the first 13 weeks of pregnancy. This is who is going to be affected. It's your sister, your niece, your nephew, your wife, your daughter, and it's poor women. For those that take those extremist positions, I say shame on you.
You know, Corinna, thank you very much for the call. Thank all of you for the calls. You know, the polls are open to 8 tonight. I am going to be live at the Victory Party for right now Lieutenant Governor, but soon to be Senator Mandela Barnes. I'll be broadcasting from there. We will be all over the state broadcasting tonight. Civic media in all of its splendor will be talking and about the, you know, the numbers as they come up. And so I'm really excited about that. Listen, all of these things would not be possible without Civic Media and the owners of this wonderful, wonderful platform that has given us a voice. You know, the state has been ruled by conservative talk radio. Anybody who's been around a while knows that. And they have to understand that, you know, things are going to be changing. And so we'll be able to push back where in the past we weren't able to do that. Maggie, I got to say to you, you and I have done this a few times in the past, and I remember the first time I brought you on a radio station or show where I was. Hey, kind of, can you kind of end the person, you know? And I knew then the power of Maggie Dawn, and you know, you and I are a lot alike. Your emotion. You don't like to see people taken advantage of. And you fight for people who don't have a voice. And that's what I do. I fight for people who don't have a voice. I don't have your eloquence. And I don't have the knowledge base that you have. And so, you know, and so when I have you on my show, I don't have to do much of anything other than nod my head in agreement. So it's an honor.
It's my honor, Earl. Your knowledge base is vast and important, and those that don't have voices deserve to have their voice heard. If I can elevate the voices of others and give those folks a platform and a place where they feel like they can be heard, that is truly my life's mission. I try to live a life in service. I do so in my 9-to-5 work. I try to do so on this radio. I couldn't be more thankful and humbled by you and the station's openness to having me on. You are the person who put me on radio airwaves first. I owe all of the fun and ability to share what little I may have to share to you, Earl. My thanks to you, my friend. It is certainly my deepest privilege to be here on this
show. So you and I will be doing dancing the hokey pokey tonight.
Yes, when we Mandela will.
Burns. You don't remember the hokey pokey.
Oh, yeah, do you? I do.
All right. So when Mandela Barnes and Tony Evers crowned. And so the battle's not over. We need you to get out and vote. You can vote until 8 o'clock. And
as long as you're in line by 8, you will vote. If you don't know where to vote, Google it. Where do I vote? And there are a bunch of sites. I will vote, I believe, .org or iwillvote.com will get you to your correct polling place. The information's out there. Get in line by 8 o'clock today, folks.
All right. Thank everybody who took the time out to listen. And we will be back on tomorrow with a victory celebration. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you, Connor. See you later.